Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. What better way to start the week than to start out with some optimism?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Today's topic, we're going to talk about optimism. There was an article published in our own blog called An Argument for Optimism, written by Dr. Mike Rucker. And so we're going to talk about this argument for optimism that he talks about, because I'm a pretty optimistic guy. I like, maybe sometimes to a flaw, but I like being optimistic.
Yeah, you might have too much optimism. There's a possibility optimism.
I agree, but...
You could be guilty of that.
I could be.
Which it may not be a bad... Well...
It could be a bad thing.
Could be a bad thing, right.
Too much optimism could be a bad thing, because then you're not really prepared and you're not...
You know why yours isn't a bad thing?
Oh.
Because it's still realistic.
Wow.
Like, where people get into trouble is when they have... When they're optimistic to a fault, which means, wait a minute, there are some other issues going on in your life that maybe you shouldn't have this degree of optimism.
Right. Like those people who are, those teenagers that we see that are so optimistic that they're going to have a job as a video game designer, but then all they ever want to do is play video games. They never want to learn programming or computer skills in general.
Or they have about a 2.4 grade point average, but they want to be a veterinarian.
Right.
You know.
That'll be a pretty tough haul there.
Pretty tough sledding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but we're going to make the argument for optimism today, because Dr. Rucker, he has some pretty good perspectives.
That's right. And what the way he frames it, or the way he introduces the topic, is that we are living in a world where people are trying to reach their potential.
Right.
Either they're in relationships or with their children or at work. They're trying to reach their potential. And if your goal is to reach your potential, however you define that, then it is better to be optimistic than pessimistic.
Right.
And so he talks about the two types of people, those who are optimistic versus those who tend to see things in a very pessimistic way.
Right. And one of the things that he talks about that I really, really like is he talks about, and it's the heading of the first section of his paper, is that science gives you the permission to overestimate your abilities.
That's right. And that's what struck me about this art. When he used that introductory comment, he said, science gives you permission. I said, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, and then you go on to read the article, and there's a growing and emerging body of research to suggest that being optimistic is... has many more benefits than we realize.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we talk a lot about motivation, and we talk a lot about goals and those kinds of things. And so I think one of the things that we're talking about here with optimism and overestimating your abilities is the idea that you're going to push yourself outside of your comfort zone and into sort of areas that you may not have otherwise explored if you believe that you can do it and put yourself out there to try.
That's right. Because he begins by talking about dispositional optimism. You know, are you by your basic nature an optimist or a pessimist?
Right.
And he acknowledges that some people are and some aren't, but that we should work to be more optimistic.
Right.
And when he says that science gives you permission, he cites three important studies.
Right.
You know, when you say, you know, he gives you the research. And the first one is...
Go ahead.
It's for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were going on.
Oh, okay. The first study is from the University of Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here in town.
Right here in town.
4 hours south of town.
4 hours south of town, but who's counting? And what they discovered was that when optimistic people face obstacles, they believe that they can overcome them, which provides the motivation to keep going.
Right.
A pessimist would look at that and say, oh, God, it's just too much. It's too much to do. Where an optimist will say, oh, I can probably handle that.
Right.
And they will go on and try to achieve that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we use this, or many professionals will use this, but I know I use it in sports psychology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this great video, little documentary
right.
of on Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my daughter's favorite.
And he was talking. He's
Is
not
he
my
cute?
Favorite. Some people think so.
Oh, okay.
He thinks so, I think.
Does
but but he, I mean, he is a great player. But there was a documentary looking at, you know, just the different things that he can do, how strong his kick is,
oh,
and different
yes.
things. And there was a sports psychologist on the program, and one of the things that she said really stuck with me, because she said that the reason that he is good and the reason that he wins what they call 50-50 balls, which
right.
is like if the ball is sort of midway in between two people
mm-hmm.
and both players are going for the ball, one of the reasons why he tends to win those is because he expects to win those. And she says that his belief, his optimism, for
right.
using the word that we're talking about today, his optimistic impression of himself, his optimistic opinion of himself,
mm-hmm.
puts him in a situation where he's at an advantage because he simply believes that he's going to get there first. And usually does.
Wow. Okay.
And she said that... He didn't say
she
that.
She said that.
This sports psychologist said that.
Okay.
And so part of the reason that some of us or some people
mm-hmm.
are able to accomplish things that other people can't accomplish is
right.
simply because they believe that they will.
Right, right.
Which I think is fascinating.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the other things that these authors point out from the University of Miami is that as you encounter, you know, you believe that you can overcome the barriers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also, in accomplishing these things, there's a certain amount of stress involved.
Right.
And they also can handle the stress.
Right.
An optimist is better at handling the stress than a pessimist. A pessimist
right.
tends to give up, oh, it's too much, and they tend to give up, or it's not worth it, and so they tend to give up.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as more research is done in these areas, I think
mm-hmm.
what we're going to find is that our perspective, optimistic versus pessimistic,
mm-hmm.
confidence versus
right.
inferiority, I think a lot of the research is going to continue to point in the direction that your mentality as you enter these
right.
activities or these engagements
right.
is going to be the primary motivating or the primary contributor to whether or not you succeed.
To whether you succeed or not.
Right.
Right. Yep. And the second article that Rucker points out, it's actually a book. It was written by David or Donald Silver.
Mm-hmm.
David Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book about entrepreneurs. He studied
right.
100 successful entrepreneurs.
Right.
And what he found was the overwhelming preponderance is that successful entrepreneurs are optimistic.
Right.
And you need to be.
Right.
Because, again, that's a high stress. They're pushing boundaries,
mm-hmm.
pushing the frontier, and of the successful entrepreneurs, most were optimists.
Right.
So again, second body of evidence.
Remember the big movement probably about 10 years ago of when the book The Secret came out.
Oh yeah.
This is really all that it was.
Is that?
That was The Secret, by the way. If you haven't, as a spoiler, but the Secret.
Okay.
The Secret is the idea of attraction theory. So like attracts like.
Okay.
So if you
oh, okay.
if you are confident, if you sort of it kind of went a little more metaphysical, but it was
mm-hmm.
basically if you send out into the universe that this is what you want and this is what you expect
mm-hmm.
in life,
mm-hmm.
then you tend to get that. And they gave all kinds of different case examples and
right.
you know Canfield and all these and Gray and all these guys who write in the areas of self-help,
oh, okay.
you know, they were on it and talk about these same things. But they present the sort of some evidence or some at least anecdotal evidence
mm-hmm.
that when you believe something is going to happen, when you
right.
believe that you have that you have the ability to do it, when you, you know, when you go into these business, they were talking a lot about businesses and
right.
how successful you are
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. When you believe that that's what how successful you're going to be, it's what tends to happen.
And you have to be a little bit optimistic to think that you can.
Absolutely.
You know, entrepreneurs
Absolutely.
Are of a they're a certain type.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain
mm-hmm.
disposition, if
right.
you will. And you have to have that belief.
Yeah. One of the guys in that program was talking about how he had this, he was about to, he and his wife were packing up and getting ready to move because they, he had found some success and they were getting ready to move into this new house. Right. And, he found, as he was packing, I think it was, he found a picture of a house that he had identified years before as the house that he wanted to live in one day. Right. And that was the house that, he, so he had this picture and it looked almost exactly the like the house that they were about to move into. And he had completely forgotten about it, but he had, you know, that was his intention.
I can accomplish this.
So it's pretty, it's an interesting phenomenon, but it again goes along with this idea that optimism can create that motivation and create those just sort of second set of circumstances that helps you succeed.
And I also like the notion that like attracts like, you know, that optimistic people tend to attract optimistic people. And you get a group of people who believe that they can.
Right.
They're going to be generating ideas. They're going to be generating enthusiasm, generating motivation. And that pulls everybody along.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number three.
And the third is from the medical field.
Right.
This is a little bit scary.
But I think it's great.
But it is.
It is great, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Eric Gilte, I think is how you would pronounce his name. Did they, I don't know how they set this study up, but they discovered that pessimists, given the same procedures, surgical procedures or medical procedures, that pessimists were 19% more likely to die early than optimists.
Right.
Okay. Now, we've read and seen things, holistic treatments.
Right.
I think what specifically comes to mind is cancer, of course, because you see commercials on TV for holistic approaches and you have to have a positive attitude and you have to build that into your treatment plan. But of course, it holds for any kind of a disability.
Right.
You know, I think of people with diabetes who need to exercise and be careful of their diets. If you're optimistic that you can get control of this thing, you're more likely. But if you're pessimistic, you know what the pessimist is going to say.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm sick anyway, so what difference is it if I have another dessert?
Right.
As it turns out, it makes a big difference.
Right, right, absolutely. So, yeah, so it's not really surprising, I think, that there's been research to suggest that when you are more optimistic about the outcome of different medical procedures, different medical tests and approaches, you tend to fare better than if you enter it with a more pessimistic impression.
Right, right.
Or expectation, not impression.
Expectation, but, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so where he, the other thing he leaves us with, which I thought was, so we have these three kinds of studies. Mm-hmm, these are three specific studies, but I think there's this emerging body of research on optimism. And when people say to an optimistic person, oh, come on, you have to be realistic about this, where we have to be careful with talking about you have to be realistic is Rucker even proposes that the argument for being realistic might be a defense mechanism for not trying.
Right.
It holds you back from, you know, well, wait a minute, you have to be realistic about it. And I think of, I think of students going to medical school.
Right.
Okay, or any type of graduate school, but especially medical or veterinary or dentistry, because there's a high rejection rate. There's a very low acceptance rate, and people say, "Well, come on, now you got to be realistic about this." So does that mean don't try? Does that mean change your no? Because the optimist would say, somehow I'm going to make this happen.
Right.
Now, I might not get accepted to an American medical school, but there are medical schools all over the world.
Right.
And I will do what I have to do to get there. And if they don't take me this year, then I will do something this year to make myself more competitive next year.
Right.
But I am going to accomplish this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be careful about, well, let's be realistic about this, because that's what holds people back is, okay, you have to be practical, you have to be realistic. Entrepreneurs didn't get to where they are by being practical and realistic.
Right.
Sensible, yes. But he even proposes that being realistic may be a defense mechanism to stay where you are.
I agree. I agree. I think that people, a lot of people use it as a reason
not to
put themselves out there. And and I think that we have to, that's something we definitely have to overcome. So,
But what I like about this whole article that he put together was it's okay to be optimistic.
Right.
And it's better for your career, it's better for the people around you, and it's better for your health.
Right. So a quick note before we wrap up, is, as you said early on, some of us are naturally more optimistic than others. And if you're naturally, if your sort of baseline is not very optimistic, that's okay. You can still benefit from optimism by creating some intentional optimism. Right. You know, we talk about sort of, I forgot the word you said, what kind of optimism?
Dispositional.
Up on the screen is the thing, and it says destructive optimism. And I was
it comes later.
I don't think that that's it.
Right.
But I couldn't. Dispositional optimism. So dispositional optimism is great. But if you don't have that, then you can have intentional optimism.
Exactly.
And so you can create situations to be optimistic in so that you can find some of that success in. And I believe, and I don't know that there's necessarily research out there to support this, but I have certainly seen it with patients. The more intentional, optimistic opportunities you create and find success, the more your dispositional optimism is going to grow. And so you can foster that development by creating these opportunities.
That's a good point. It's probably an excellent point to end, because you can say, well, I'm a pessimist by nature. Well, you don't need to be a pessimist unless you're clinically depressed.
Right.
You know, which
you
is
still don't need to be.
Right. You don't need to be dispositionally pessimistic.
Right.
Okay. And there is a way out.
Right.
You know, and I like the phrase intentional optimism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get off the sofa, get out and do something.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Make yourself be successful.
And you have to want it. You have to want to. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for today.
That was fun. Yeah.
We will be back.
It's Monday, next time. Right?
Yep.
Start the week off on an optimistic note.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.